This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning! I don't know what note that was, what pitch that was. It was pretty bad, but good morning. It's supposed to jar you awake if you are not yet awake. You still have the cobwebs or you're kind of shaking it out there. I know for me, it's about the coffee. Sometimes it's just the thought of the coffee that gets me out of bed, though this is not the hour when I wake up. So that's on you, and that's tough. We're here to keep you company, though, for the next hour as we hurdle our way forward into a football weekend. It is a Football Friday here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So much ground that we've covered here on the show already. A resurfacing of Antonio Brown. The return of Kareem Hunt for week number 10 as well. We've got a bunch of games that we're previewing slash just like spinning the hype machine even more. I like to do that. I do enjoy not giving you predictions, but telling you all the reasons why you should watch this game or that game. So check out our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We've given you a bit of a twist for the Week 10 poll. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Week 10 began on Thursday night. And you know what? I love the fact that John Gruden loves the Coliseum. Also, they're crazy in the Coliseum. I believe that's going to be a void for the NFL when the Raiders leave Oakland. And I know all the politics and all the reasons why they're going to Las Vegas. I get it. I'm sure Vegas has got an incredible fan base that's going to greet them, a brand new stadium. And we saw the way that Vegas sports fans embraced the Golden Knights when they started up there. And so I know it's going to be a cool atmosphere there, but there's something about the tradition of the Coliseum. There's something about men and women, rabid fans of the Raiders wearing Halloween costumes, wearing masks for a home game. And this was the last time that the Coliseum will host a prime time game featuring the Raiders. So it was the last opportunity, not their last home game, but the last opportunity on national TV for the 53,000 strong to get all kinds of revved up and represent. And they did it well. And in fact, they had even more reason to get revved up and screaming and yelling and crazy when against the Chargers, their defense set the tone early.
Quisenberry is his center. And he is going to throw on this down. Fires high. Intercepted again. Picked off. Return to the 40. Down the sideline. 20-yard line. Here comes Eric Harris going in all the way. Touchdown, Raiders. Allen moves in motion over to the left side of the formation. Rivers is up underneath center. Now he brings him back in motion. He wants to throw. Drops back. And he's going to be sacked. He is going to be sacked. The Raider defense led by Clee Ferrell. That's his third of the night.
There were a whole lot of highlights for the Oakland Raiders defense. Mine is Khalil Mack, in case you wanted to bring that up again. But 5 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, 3 interceptions, 2 early for Eric Harris, and I swear he could have had 2 more. There was one, actually, that he snagged in the end zone that was called back because of a penalty. Phillip Rivers made some ill-advised decisions, and Harris was there to make him pay.
It was a pretty exciting, special moment for this team, special moment for my teammates, you know, and credit to them for putting me in a position and just trusting those guys.
Now, this game still was a battle to the end, which I love, and Rivers and the offense, specifically Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, they were moving the ball. If you only looked at the stats or the numbers, you would think that the Chargers had more points or the Chargers won this game because they did have success moving the ball. They just had some really bad turnovers, and the turnovers are often the great equalizer, but they had more yards. They had more drives. They had a way more rushing yards than did the Oakland Raiders, and they were 3 of 4 in the red zone. The problem is multiple times when they were in the red zone, they were also throwing the ball away. So Phillip Rivers would tell you that's on him. And no doubt those missed opportunities sting, especially in a game in the AFC West. But they were there until the end, despite the turnover. So that tells you, still, I think that the Chargers, while this one hurts badly, especially in their division standings, that they are a team that through the second half of the year should look more like the 12-4 club from a year ago. So an Austin Ekeler touchdown with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter actually gave the Chargers the lead. And so it was up to Derek Carr. It was up to the Oakland offense to try to answer. But we saw it a week ago. We saw the Raiders just a week ago show us that. In fact, on Twitter, I called it smooth as butter, what I was seeing from Derek Carr and the Raiders in the fourth quarter against the Lions. Now, the Lions defense, okay, we've already described them as Swiss cheese on this team. The Chargers, a different battle. Gritty, certainly a better defensive line, more pressure there. And yet, Derek Carr looks like he has settled into a nice rhythm in the John Gruden offense.
The Chargers show a 9-man front against this set. The hand, big hole, first down, end zone, touchdown, Jacobs, touchdown, Raiders, would you believe it, off the bench, the offensive line blows the hole open against that 9-man box, and Jacobs takes it home, Roll Tide, baby.
Brent Musburger, as the voice of Oakland Raiders football on their radio network, he mentioned it a couple of times, a 9-man front. Do you know what that tells you? Everybody in America, including the Chargers, knew that the Raiders were going to run the ball. They did. Right up the gut. And Josh Jacobs was able to break free for six. They ended up actually missing the extra point, which kept it just a 2-point margin. But that 18-yard rush late in the game, a minute to go in the fourth quarter, once again, set those fans to a crazy level. It was pretty cool to see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It took another interception with 20 seconds left. Why? Why did the Chargers have so many shots at it, so many opportunities? Well, because the penalty on fourth down gave them a first down and a fresh opportunity. And I guess if you're looking for ways that the Raiders allowed the Chargers to stay in it, penalties would be the reason. It seemed like there were flags on every play. As it was, the Raiders got flagged a dozen times. And so they left that door open for the Chargers, to be sure, and had to shut them down not just once but twice in that last minute. But the synergy is here. The similarities are here for the Raiders in these last 2 weeks. Pushed to the end, they came up with a go-ahead touchdown in the late stages of the fourth quarter, and then the defense had to protect it. Derek Carr called it an old school AFC West battle. Wasn't pretty, certainly not on a Thursday night when it's a short work week. But the Raiders didn't turn the ball over, and they got into position and scored in that last minute. As for John Gruden, he took every opportunity and will through the rest of the year. But the last time in prime time, he loves to run around and visit the stands in the area that's called the Black Hole specifically, where he can interact with the fans.
No, I never rethink that. Every win, I'm going down there. I got face paint all over me. I got to see some costumes I have not seen before at any football games. Awesome.
So certainly a different tune for John Gruden from what we got earlier in the week when he was asked about Thursday night football, and he said, I hate this. Well, it's certainly a pain in the rear end when you lose and you're just even more exhausted with the quick turnaround. But when you win, then you can take that time off and feel pretty good about it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember where the Raiders were a year ago? Just here's a snapshot. They had traded away Khalil Mack to the Bears, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. All this talk about whether or not the locker room would revolt because of these unpopular moves, not to mention they were suffering through a 4-12 season. Does John Gruden actually have a plan? How many times that question was posed? Will he be able to lead the locker room? Will they listen to him? Or has he lost the respect of his players? I think it's safe to say now the answer to that question is no. He has not lost their respect. In fact, they're clearly on the same page and pulling the same direction. And now they are above 500. So what a difference a year makes. They're just a game back of the Kansas City Chiefs atop the AFC West. Now, the Chiefs have to play this weekend, of course, and so they haven't yet taken their bye. But the fact that they're even above 500 is a surprise to a lot of people, no doubt. As for the Chargers, this is a big blow. They'd won back-to-back games. They were hoping to get not just above 500, but to take over second place in the division to try to put together a run. And so here they are now, according to Anthony Lynn, facing every weekend being a must-win.
We have no choice. I mean, we have six games left, and we have to regroup, and we have to work on being 1-0 for next week. But, you know, as far as, we have to work our tail off, to reach our goal. And that was to get back to the tournament. And so, I don't know if we can lose another game. And they understand that.
Now, the Chargers are typically a second-half team. They do fare better in the second half. But, gosh, the last two losses for them, excruciating, right? So they had two wins that were sandwiched in between two losses. The one against the Titans, in which they had multiple shots at the goal line and the fumble and just couldn't get the ball across. And then this one, in which they turn it over three times and hand the Raiders their first 10 points off turnovers. In fact, Eric Harris had a pick six. Boom, just like that. They're behind the eight ball. And so this one hurts. But credit the Oakland defense, the way they played, the rhythm for the offense to do just enough on a short work week. The Raiders are in good shape and firmly in the conversation in the AFC because it's so thick around the middle. Other than the Patriots, there's not a whole lot of separation. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's the game you're most looking forward to? Our poll is up. Also on Facebook, it's wide open. The highway, it's like a highway, the Autobahn staring you in the face. You just go 150 miles per hour and weigh in, share your thoughts with us, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we've got our fantasy picks for the weekend, but also looking ahead at, it's still a few days away, but looking ahead at what I hope will be an epic Monday night football game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we only recognize the best of the best.
Baker Mayfield on fire, and he goes into the end zone with the rest of the offense, and they snap a picture of Higgins in the left corner. And that's how it's going to go, everybody.
Each week during the football season, we'll select someone whose heroics on the field captivated the crowd and filled up the stat sheet.
Jackson will run. Sidestep the man, gets inside the 10, the 5, hurdles a man, and steps in for the touchdown.
It's time to select this week's After Hours Fantasy Phenom. Here's Amy Lawrence. Hey.
Fantasy is such a fickle world. It's, by the way, it's fantasy football, not real football. So stop tweeting at pro athletes and telling them they lost your fantasy matchup for you. Oh, and get a life, please, while you're at it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't that long ago that I, among other fantasy football owners, managers, general managers, whichever you prefer, was asking the question, should I trade or drop David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears? Looked a little dicey. crazy there, especially going back to the game against New Orleans just 3 weeks ago or three games ago, in which he had, and I could count them on two hands, six rushing yards. Not so productive if you're looking for him as your feature back. However, the Bears have made more of a concerted effort to get Montgomery involved in the offense. So he is my fantasy pick now moving forward, especially when the passing game leaves much to be desired. 2 weeks ago against the LA Chargers, 135 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then last week showing up the versatility, even though these were both losses. At Philadelphia, he had two rushing touchdowns and then had another nearly as many receiving yards, 36 receiving yards to the 40 to go on the ground. And so while they were losing, he was the bright spot in the offense. So I always hate doing this because if for some reason David Montgomery has a really bad game, you're going to blame me. No, go with your first answer. David Montgomery, hashtag fantasy phenom in week 10. Oh, sorry, Chris and Dave, they're also ready and waiting.
That we are, and it's not always the sexiest matchups of the weekend that produce the best fantasy matchups of the weekend, so we will
go... Hey, garbage time counts, too.
Exactly, so we will head down to Tampa, where the Cardinals will be coming in. Both teams reeling a little bit, and the season on the line, potentially for the Cardinals here, if they want to make any sort of a push, but I'm going to go with a buck in Mike Evans to have yet another monster week. A Buccaneer. Mike Evans has had a phenomenal fantasy season and a season on the field as well. He's averaging over 10 receptions over his last three games, over 100 yards, and he has three touchdowns over his last three games as well. And Jameis Winston fighting for his job down in Tampa there too, so he will look for his number one target, his best friend, Mike Evans, against a terrible Cardinals defense that has allowed at least 25 points in every game this season.
I don't think anybody on the Buccaneers roster is happier to see Bruce Arians as the head coach than Mike Evans, because that role has increased for him and we know he's good for it. All right, that's Chris. Now Dave with his fantasy phenom.
So I'm not trying to go the easy route here, but I really think he's the MVP right now of the league is Christian McCaffrey. It's just unbelievable how good he continues to be and get better, seemingly. His numbers from last week, 146 yards on the ground with two rushing touchdowns, three catches for 20 yards through the air with another touchdown. And I just want to run through his numbers really quickly for the season. He has 1,244 yards from scrimmage right now.
The most in the NFL?
Yes. And halfway through the season, he's on pace for 2,488, which would only be, quick math, 21 yards shy of the all-time record from Jamal Charles of 2,509 yards from scrimmage. And I think that he's actually going to break that record. So he has to be the fantasy phenom so far through the first half of the season.
Can I just add a couple more numbers? Because I happen to write about the top three MVP candidates in my column this week. McCaffrey's 10 rushing touchdowns are the most in the NFL. That one's pretty obvious. He's averaging better than 110 yards per game on the ground. I mean, that's incredible. And just as importantly, do you know how many fumbles he has this year? A big fat zero. And I know when it comes to fantasy, that's not a huge deal. You don't get penalized a bunch for turnovers. But if you're talking about real football, that's phenomenal. His steadiness really anchors that Carolina offense. It has been the key for the Panthers in going 5-1 with Kyle Allen, who's more of a game manager. Not a bad thing. He's not as high risk, but he's also not as high reward as Cam Newton. And so the offense has changed. And Christian McCaffrey has been the constant, and so I love that pick for sure. All right, so I would love it if you would send us your fantasy phenoms, of course, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And while you're there, please read my column. That makes me happy. Don't you want me to be happy? It's happiness all around because it's a Friday morning. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Bryant, who's in Ottawa. Welcome to After Hours. Oh, well, that was easy. Sometimes all I have to say is good morning and the conversation is over just like that. I'm so scary.
This guy was on hold for like 3 hours.
He was not on hold for 3 hours.
Or maybe not 3 hours, but like a good
rumors.
40 minutes or something.
Okay, well, we had other stuff to do. All right, coming up on Monday night, there is a doozy in the NFC West. The only division in football with three teams above 500. But you wouldn't know it by hearing Pete Carroll talk about the big-time sporting event coming up on Monday night.
It's such a big week. Harlem Globetrotters are in town. Holy mackerel. Did you guys know that? They got a great-looking team. We showed the highlights today. They're ready to go. I would not want to play them. They look too good. We're excited about this week. Getting the chance to play on Monday, it makes it fun and all that. We're playing against a terrific opponent. These guys have just done such a marvelous job this season. They've played out ahead of games. They've played in tough games. They've been able to do it all. Got a really good formula. You know, playing off their defense in a running game, you know how much we respect that.
Jokes from Pete Carroll. How much fun was that? Now, I kind of found it amusing, but she noticed there wasn't a whole lot of laughter in the room, so I wonder if they were staring at him awkwardly. The Harlem Globetrotters are in town. So Seattle is on the road at San Francisco. This is a game, of course, that pits two of the NFC contenders. But the fact that it's a West battle and that it kind of is a throwback to the rivalry, it's not old, but the three consecutive NFC championships that they played before San Francisco kind of fell off a cliff. Well, while we're talking about the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, what an incredible season he's putting together. And I really believe Pete Carroll's a genius for what he said after their overtime win against the Bucks a few days ago. With Russell Wilson out there, you always have a chance. I mean, that's a pretty strong endorsement for an MVP candidate. But as I talked about some of the numbers with Christian McCaffrey, Wilson leads the NFL with 22 touchdown passes and only has one interception. Then you throw in three more rushing touchdowns, another 200 yards on the ground. And this guy, while he's not a dual threat quarterback, and they don't want him to be a dual threat quarterback, it's clear that he's playing some of the best football of his career. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo has noticed.
Russ is he's a phenomenal quarterback, athlete, everything. Just he does everything for that team, and he puts him in a good spot to win every week. So yeah, it'll be a great challenge, you know. But I've said it before, I'm not playing against the other quarterback, going against the defense. But it'll be a good challenge for our defense.
Thank you for noticing that. I hate it when people say, "Oh, it's Jimmy Garoppolo against Russell Wilson." Well, actually, it's not. Just two more quick notes about Wilson, because you know I love the nerdy numbers. His completion rate and his passer rating right now are both career highs. Every facet of his game, and it's so important because he's one of the remaining veterans from their couple seasons in which they went to the Super Bowl. The Seahawks have gone through a bunch of transition last year and this year as they try to get younger, as they bring in new guys. And the receiving core specifically, no more Doug Baldwin. He's got Tyler Lockett, but guys like DK Metcalf and Jacob Hollister, and they're trying to find that comfort zone with the receivers. And so he and Chris Carson, of course, with the run game, so important to be able to set the tone for the offense. What's the game you're most looking forward to? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. The poll is up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the legs, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And the most sizzling reaction.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
I'm very, you know, excited. I'm always excited to be the state in Cleveland.
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Metcalf wide to the far side. Russ takes the shotgun snap. Looks, throws inside. Ball is caught! Is it in the end zone? Seahawks win! Touchdown! Seahawks! Jacob Hollister, his second score! And the Seahawks win in dramatic fashion.
We've been able to do it all year. I think for us to be able to go down the field, let's go win the game. What's the circumstances? What's the situation? Let's go do it. You know, and I think that confidence, that unwavering belief, it's real. And just the language that we talk about and the things how we say it and how we go about it, it's real. And so I think that and teams know it too. I think teams, you know, feel it a little bit, to be honest with you.
I think they do. Russell Wilson, 5 touchdown passes, including the game winner in overtime against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To say nothing of why he needed to throw 5 touchdown passes and go into overtime against the Bucs. But, you know, some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug defense. And that's where Russell Wilson comes in. So pretty amazing what he and the offense have done, even in another season of transition. The defense, of course, has got new guys. It's not the Legion of Boom anymore. And I'm so impressed with the coaching job that Pete Carroll has done yet again, but also the leadership. And the confidence that Russell Wilson brings to the table, which definitely then spreads out the rest of the team. He is the leader of that team, not just the offense. And it's amazing to see how the team responds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Steve Rabel, the play-by-play voice on the Seahawks radio network. So who will offer us the boom moment of the week? And coming up, it doesn't have to be football. It could be college. It could not. I just saw this post on our Facebook page that I wanted to mention because we ask you both Twitter and Facebook, what is the game that you're most looking forward to this weekend? Phil, outside the box, he says, not on your poll, but actual football. Okay, soccer, because it's in North America. MLS Cup Final, Sunday, 3 o'clock, Seattle Sounders versus the Toronto Football Club. He is a fan of Toronto, so TFC. He's chanting, and that's cool, too. I mean, I wouldn't say it's lost, but it's a tough sell on a Sunday afternoon when there is the NFL that's also consuming so much of our attention. But, yes, for sure, long season in the MLS, and it's the Seattle and Toronto clubs that have been left standing. If I'm not mistaken, no way, Atlanta won 2 years ago, right? Didn't Seattle? Maybe Seattle won 3 years ago. And Toronto's been in the mix, too. So you're talking about some teams that have an opportunity, almost like a Clemson, Alabama or something. Teams that are now going back and forth. If you want to check that history for me. Speaking of Clemson and Alabama, two teams that are ranked in the top 5 in the college football playoff rankings. And we know, obviously, that they've also faced off in multiple championships in this college football playoff and now what is a 5-year history. So we're getting into that final month of the regular season where everything is so heightened in college football, which is pretty cool. I love this time of the year. Obviously, adore October and everything that it means in sports and in Major League Baseball, but November is no slouch. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Now, see, I was close. I had some of my years mixed up. But yes, the Seattle Sounders won in 2016. In 17, it was Toronto FC. Why do I remember that being a scoreless game, too, that went into a shootout? And then 2018, the Atlanta United. So the United were the defending champs. They will be displaced by one of those previous champs in the MLS Cup. And that, my friends, is all that I will be talking about when it comes to the MLS final. I don't know if you have heard this or have had the same experience with the news, but in addition to talking about the Monday Night Football Black Cat on sports all week, so whether it's sports TV or sports radio, I swear to you, I have heard multiple reports on the news about the Black Cat. Now, part of that is because MetLife issued an update saying that we have tried to find this black cat that made its incredible debut. We're talking about a rookie. Wow, rookie of the year right there.
And the cat is elusive.
See what I mean? I mean, the cat was killing it. And so MetLife issued this update to let the world know that they've tried to find the cat. They've tried to find a humane way to capture the cat so that they can then release it, find it at a home, whatever. But they haven't been able to. And so twice in the last 24 hours on a news network, I've heard an update about how the cat is still loose. I mean, that cat is now the most famous feline in America. Black Cat, I was rooting for you to win the boom moment of the week. Any chance you just want to play Kevin Harlan's touchdown call for me just because? And not just me, because it's now famous and so many people love it. Oh, see, this is why I appreciate Dave and Chris, because they want me to be happy.
A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday night
right.
football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five.
Who brought the
walking.
Cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
Without missing a beat, I swear to you that when it stops becoming funny, I mean, I don't know when that is, but when it does, I promise that we'll stop playing the audio. But I'm still laughing at it, and I can't be the only one. So Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Westwood One, fantastic. Do you wonder, now we have Kevin on the show every now and then. We've never had Kurt on the show, which I would love to have Kurt on the show, but I'm such a big fan of his. But with Kevin Harlan, we've had him on the show before, and I remember asking him about the streaker that he did the play-by-play for on Monday Night Football a couple years ago.
The guy is drunk!
Exactly. And I cannot wait to ask Kevin again when he comes on the show about what is now his second most famous call on Monday Night Football. I wonder if it ever occurred to him to just to lay out. That's a broadcasting term, meaning don't talk, just say there's a cat on the field, they're chasing the cat, and just talk about something else. I don't think it did. I think he is committed to sharing every inch of detail that he possibly can. I love it. I don't know what it says about me or my sports show that the cat on Monday Night Football is my favorite moment of the week. I can't help it. It's just, I love animals, but I also love Kevin Harlan, and I'm still laughing. Let's talk to Don, who's in Oregon. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, and Miss Amy, I'm a Bronco fan such as yourself, and I watched the Raiders and the
Chargers?
LA guys.
Chargers,
know?
Yep.
They're always going to be San Diego people for me.
There you go.
Because I saw him in San Diego. I used to live in the coast of California and in Oregon, up in Washington, for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never in my life rooted for the Raiders before, but I found myself rooting for them.
Now, why is that?
Pardon me?
Why is that?
Because I have a dislike or a disdain for Philip Rivers. No, when I lived in Denver, he treated the fans and he gave us a bunch of, hand signals that were unkind. And
he is very intense, very intense. Even at, what is he, 38 years old now? That man still brings the fire, and I feel like sometimes he loses his mind out there on the field.
Yeah. Well, people lose their mind. You can't trust him when they're going through that. And he does what he does. When he gets real mad, he loses it.
Well,
he doesn't think correctly.
I mean, he's a pretty darn good quarterback. But yes, I understand what you're saying. Even last night, they were showing some of his wild gestures. And he gets frustrated with himself, too, when he throws those zips, those balls on a rope that just end up getting intercepted. I've called him before a poor man's Brett Favre. I mean, he's a gunslinger, but not as good as Brett Favre was at the gunslinging. But he tries. I mean, that is definitely his style of play, though sometimes it gets him into trouble. Don, I appreciate your phone call in Oregon. Thanks so much. Enjoy week 10 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jeff says, I've always wanted to see the Bills and Browns in a playoff and then watch the Browns and Bears in a Super Bowl, maybe next year, with a question mark. Well, certainly not in week 10, so I can't help you there, man. Chris on Twitter, the Black Cat TD call might be the call of the year. So I can feel like I could empathize with Kevin Harlan a little bit. Now, completely different crafts. He is doing play-by-play. I'm hosting a show. But when I talk about things like cheese or the mysterious noises coming from my piano or buying a lawnmower. Yeah, anything. Anything that I talk about that's not sports related, you all love it. And you tell me, that's the best, that's so funny, la la, we love. What does that say about me as a sports talk host? That when I talk about things that are not from the world of sports, that's your favorite. So here's Kevin Harlan. I just rolled my eyes at you. Here's Kevin Harlan, who kills it week after week after week doing play-by-play for football. He literally creates a visual picture. I mean, it's amazing how good he is. And yet, we are enraptured and captivated by his call of a black cat on the field more than anything else that he might have done this year. The poor guy. He's good. He's good all the time. But that was so unexpected and so off the cuff. And yet he nailed it, which is why he is among the best. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So if you missed my conversation with Brian Fisher, National College Football Insider with College Football Talk, he joined us in the first hour from the West Coast, and we talked to LSU, Alabama, certainly one of those games that we're all looking forward to. I actually put it on my to-do list. Not that I was going to forget, I wasn't, but I really wanted to underscore the importance. And it was great of College Football to give us Penn State and Minnesota earlier in the day. So if you don't want to accomplish anything on Saturday, you can just spend a good portion of your day sitting on the couch watching a bunch of undefeateds go at it. And then, of course, Sunday and Monday, we've got the NFL Week 10. I leave you with this. We should all be like Tiger Woods, who just chose himself to be on the President's Cup team. Do you remember when you were a kid and there were student body president elections, and either you weren't allowed to vote for yourself, or if you voted for yourself, it was considered, you know, prideful or egotistical? Yeah, Tiger Woods don't care. He's got 82 PGA Tour wins, and he just picked himself to be on the President's Cup squad. I think you should go forth and dominate the weekend just like that. Choose yourself. Be your own biggest fan. We're back on Sunday night following college and football, college and pro football this weekend. Enjoy. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.